This is the Inside Wine Podcast. I'm Joe Janisch, a certified specialist of wine and wine industry professional since 1996, giving you insider tips to make the right wine decisions. Hey, listener. Today's episode is special in that we won't be talking much about wine specifically. Rather, we'll be talking about Julia Child, the first TV celebrity chef and arguably the most famous chef of all time. And since wine is food, I thought you might be interested in the Julia Jubilee, a one-week virtual conference hosted by Cherry Bomb, celebrating the life and legacy of Julia Child. The conference starts on April 22nd, so hurry up and listen. And today our guest is Kerry Diamond, founder of Cherry Bomb. And if you do not know what Cherry Bomb is, well, that's why I have Kerry on today, because I think it's something that you'll want to learn about. Kerry, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Joe. Super thrilled to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So just in a nutshell, tell me a little bit about what Cherry Bomb is for our listener who maybe has never heard of it and why they might want to learn more about Cherry Bomb. Maybe go into a little bit about how Cherry Bomb came about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Cherry Bomb is a media company that's all about women in and around the world of food and beverage. And we started back in, oh my gosh, it'll be our 8-year anniversary in May. So we started 8 years ago, and we started as a print magazine. And a lot of people were like, you're crazy to do a print magazine. It was a print magazine with no website, no subscribers, no nothing. And I had been working in the beauty and fashion industry and started dating a chef, maybe other people have gotten into the restaurant world that way. But I started dating a chef and he asked if I would like to open a restaurant.
Oh.
Right. And I had zero restaurant experience. So I thought, oh, that sounds like fun. How hard could that be? Right.
Yeah, sure. Until you get into it.
Words. Exactly. Until you get into it. So I got into it and I realized not only was it the hardest business I had ever been part of, but it was at a time when the industry was very bro-y, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you know, maybe they're nodding in agreement, but, you know, there were incredible women in the food and beverage world, but for whatever reason, at the time, media was prioritizing telling the stories of primarily the white male executive chef. And I knew all these incredible women doing cool things, and I was like, why aren't they being celebrated? So one thing led to another, and then my original partner and I decided we would do a print magazine and tell these stories. So we worked on it for a little while, and the magazine came out, like I said, 8 years ago, and the reaction was beyond what we ever expected. And I think what was going on is that there were a lot of women who felt and had recognized the same thing, that there were all these incredible women in food, but they weren't getting their due for whatever reason. And they were very excited to see an entity celebrate them or their friends or other women who they, you know, maybe admired or knew about. So that was how the magazine was born. And then everything happened after that. And it's been kind of like an 8-year runaway trip.
Yeah. If someone told me, oh, let's start a magazine 8 years ago, I'd be like, what are you thinking? It's like the last thing you want to do.
Exactly. I think there were a few articles. I know there was one. The headline was something like, meet the two women crazy enough to launch a print magazine. You would not have been alone in your assessment.
Yeah, and it probably isn't as crazy as opening a restaurant.
That's a good question. I think the print magazine might be crazier, as hard as that is to say. But I feel like that's another conversation for another podcast, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty clear that you are someone who does not fly in the face of anything. Caution, caution to the wind. Just try it and see what happens, right?
Exactly. Well, it's an interesting thing when a passion project becomes something bigger. And, you know, that's a magical thing when it happens, but it also, you're kind of caught unprepared for a lot of things. And running a company, growing a company, maintaining a brand, those were all things I wasn't quite prepared to do, but have had to figure out how to do. But the one thing that has remained constant is we are dedicated to celebrating women in and around the world of food and beverage. And that hasn't changed. And there have been so many things that have happened over the past 8 years that have led us to just kind of double down on our commitment to that audience. And it's been really beautiful and fulfilling. And I've made tons of friends and learned more than I ever could have hoped about food, wine, baking, you name it.
Yeah. And, you know, again, just to reiterate what you said, you had a passion and you kept focus, and great things can happen with those two ingredients. See what I did there? Ingredients?
Good one.
So eventually you did figure out how to put your magazine online in some shape or form.
Well, the magazine is still print only. We still don't put the articles online.
Oh, okay.
Believe it or not. But we did expand in other ways. I read an article in Eater back in 2013, I think it was, about how women were being left out of food conferences around the world. And I was just like, well, that's terrible. And that eventually led to our Jubilee conference, which was an in-person conference for years. And that became the biggest gathering of women in food in the US. And we were super proud of that. And it was just amazing networking, amazing speakers from Martha Stewart to Ina Garten to Nigella Lawson. We were really, really lucky, you know, with the incredible speakers who would come and talk to our audience. We launched a podcast. We got a little smarter about having a website. You know, today we have a Cherry Bomb membership. We do have subscriptions today. And yeah, we've grown in lots of different ways. But at the heart of things, we're still a print-only magazine.
Okay. But it's kind of like, sort of like a club or like an organization now that you have subscriptions and memberships and everything else.
For such a small company, we are very diversified, I guess you could say.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that you can enjoy the passion of female chefs and et cetera. So you mentioned Jubilee, and Jubilee obviously couldn't happen the way you wanted it to last year because we, unfortunately, we're still in the pandemic. We're at the tail end, hopefully, starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But this year, and very soon, probably as soon as the listener is listening to this podcast, the latest edition of the Jubilee will be upon us, and it is a very special one. It's Julia Jubilee, and it's celebrating Julia Child. And believe it or not, there may be some people who don't know Julia Child beyond the Julia movie, or even that. Maybe we could talk a little bit about Julia Child, who she was, what she did for really chefs, for cooking, for food, and how and why you're going to be celebrating her during the Julia Jubilee.
So I am definitely one of those people who did not know too much about Julia Child, but I have been on this deep dive of all things Julia for about a year now. And you're right. We were supposed to do our Jubilee conference last year. When I tell you the date, everyone will be like, oh, it was supposed to be April 5th, 2020. And needless to say, we weren't able to pull it off in person, but we did pivot pretty quickly and did a conference called Jubilee 2.0 that was all on IG Live, which was very big at the time. And it was great. We had, again, Ina Garten, Drew Barrymore. It was a lot of fun. You know, it wasn't the same as in person, but a lot more people could actually participate than could have in a live event.
It was a really good event, and it was star-studded. It was pretty amazing.
That part was definitely fun. It's always fun to, I feel like I always get a lot of wisdom from the people who take part. So it was nice to learn from all those folks. You know, we'd never done a heavily themed Jubilee, and, you know, we wanted to do something around Julia Child, and we had the idea, like, let's make the next Jubilee all about Julia, hence Julia Jubilee.
Let me stop you for a second. You said that you didn't know a lot about Julia before. What made you start to think about her or consider her for something like this?
That's a good question. You know, I don't, this is a bad answer, Joe, but I don't,
that's okay.
I don't remember the light bulb moment, but you know this. I mean, things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
Once we started talking about Julia Child, then we learned there was a big documentary in the works about her by the women who did the RBG documentary. There's an HBO series in the works that will actually debut later this fall, winter. So I don't know. Sometimes things are just in the air and they come to you for no reason. You know, I guess that's what's that like, the zeitgeist, right?
Yeah. She's suddenly relevant again out of the blue for whatever reason, which is great because her life was amazing.
So we decided we would make this year's Jubilee all about Julia. It's taking place April 22nd through 29th. And it's a whole series of panels and demos and talks all inspired by Julia in some way. And our kickoff, all the content is free except for our kickoff conversation. And the kickoff features Ina Garten and Stanley Tucci in conversation. And that's a fundraiser for the Food Education Fund. And the Food Education Fund supports hundreds of New York City public high school students with culinary programming, internships, scholarships. It's a wonderful organization. But the tickets are still affordable. They start at $10.
Oh, that's nothing. That's great.
And everybody loves Ina and everybody loves Stanley right now. Yeah. Have you seen his CNN show?
Not yet. I have not seen it yet, but I've heard really interesting things about it.
Oh my gosh, put it on your list. It's so beautifully done. And the fact that, you know, you really can't travel anywhere right now, it makes it all the more poignant.
Yeah. Two heavy hitters you have there, really good entertainers. That's and only $10 to, like, who's not going to do that?
Only $10, right? And all the money minus, I think it's taxes and the whatever the handling fee is, goes to the school. So we would love for all of you to join us for that. It'll be a lot of fun. That's taking place April 22nd. So you asked my relationship to Julia. So you know, I grew up in a big family. I was one of five kids in Staten Island, New York. My parents were really young. My mom didn't cook that much, and as I got more and more into the culinary world and learned more about Julia and learned how people are so obsessed with Julia still to this day, even young people who weren't even alive when Julia was, it always just begged the question for me, like, what was it about Julia Child? So last year I started to go back and I read My Life in France, her wonderful memoir that she wrote with her grandnephew, Alex Prudhomme. I watched Julie and Julia again. And then I fell down, you know, the rabbit hole of all her PBS programs. And she really was just so unique and so different. And, you know, we're so saturated now with food TV programming, some of it amazing, like Stanley and Ina, some of it not. But back then, Julia was it. You know, she was the culinary programming. I mean, she wasn't the first person to be on food TV or do, you know, cooking demos on television, but she really was the first culinary star. And yeah, it's been wonderful learning about her. And I think it was just this combination of just bravery and enthusiasm and joy that she brought to everything she did that really captivated people. And that has, you know, that's transcended the years. I definitely think the Julie and Julia movie helped. It's, you know, if you want to be remembered for decades to come, it might help to have Meryl Streep portray you in an amazing movie written and directed by someone like Nora Ephron. That doesn't hurt your legacy building at all. But that was such a beautiful movie, and Meryl's portrayal really just so incredible that I think that only helped burnish Julia's legacy.
Agreed. I don't think it would help if she played My Life. But I don't think anyone's going to make a movie about My Life, so no worries there.
That's a good segue into the other thing I learned about Julia. I didn't realize what a late bloomer Julia is.
Oh.
And that was amazing to me, you know, especially times like these when so many people, I mean, we know how hard it's been for our friends in the hospitality community, you know, bars and restaurants and hotels, and how devastating it's been. And a lot of people have had to rethink their lives, their livelihood. You know, it has not been easy by any stretch of the imagination for literally millions of people. Julia was a late bloomer in so many respects. She really had no idea what she was going to do with her life. She did grow up in great privilege, which does not hurt. But when she moved to Paris with her husband, Paul Child, I guess it was the late 40s, and she went to Le Cordon Bleu, as everyone, you know, in our world famously knows, and that was portrayed in the movie as well. You know, she had never cooked before. And she was, I think, her late 30s at that time. And the thought that someone like Julia Child didn't even know how to cook until her late 30s is incredible to me. And then you fast forward, she worked so hard on her book, you know, the classic Mastering the Art of French Cooking. Worked on that book for almost a decade. It had been rejected by publishers. And you have to remember the time in which she did this book. It was, you know, no computers, no, you know, overnight mail. Well, yeah, I don't think they really did have overnight mail back then. And she was working on this book with two other authors, all of them in different countries at certain points. And, you know, Julia's husband was a diplomat, and they were in Oslo, they were in DC, They were in Germany. So she was not in Paris the whole time. So can you imagine communicating with editors back in New York, living in all these different countries, dealing with your co-authors back in France, and just having to make all these revisions and changes on a typewriter and mail all these changes? I mean, it almost hurts my brain to think about it.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember using the mail and actually typing up things on paper, but you know, most people aren't this old. They can't even conceive. Like, what do you mean? Why didn't they just, she couldn't just email it?
No.
Like, no fax. There was no telefax or fax or, yeah, there was no overnight express, I think, until the late 60s. So
exactly. So just imagine, I mean, just the typing alone. And then, you know, fast forward, the book comes out. I think she was 49 when the book came out. And then the TV show started when she was 50. So it is remarkable how incredible things can happen to you at any age.
You know, I never even really thought about it. I guess, I mean, I'm sure it came across in the movie or in one of the books or something about her, but I never realized that she really didn't start until she was 50. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then worked for decades.
Yeah.
Worked really hard for decades. I mean, almost never stopped working until sadly she passed away in Santa Barbara.
Right. Well, it kind of gives hope to everybody, right? Like, it's never too late.
Absolutely. One of my favorite, if you do decide to go down a Julia rabbit hole, there's a video of her from the French Chef TV program making potatoes, of all things. And it's a famous scene where she tries to flip these potatoes and they kind of like spill all over the stove. And she talks about not having had the courage of her convictions to properly flip the pan. And that's really like the one thing I've taken away from Julia is just having the courage of your convictions. And I think if we can all have that and apply it to different things in our lives, you know, who knows what can happen.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I'm still trying to flip an omelet. I just can't. I don't have the conviction to do it. Just
that, her omelet is hard. Have you done one of those omelets?
Yes, and I can't do the flip. I just have to get the spatula and you know, weasel out and do it the fake way. I can't flip it.
It's lots of drama when you do her way. Lots of like moving the pan all over the place. It is very active.
Yeah.
It's a very active omelet procedure.
Yes, and it's an art form. It really is.
But an omelet goes so nicely with a glass of wine. It's worth learning.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. So can you give us like a little bit of a preview of some of the different things that'll be happening at Julia Jubilee, or is it all kind of under wraps?
Oh, no. The schedule is fully live on cherrybomb.com, so folks can go check it out. There is, gosh, where do we even start? You know, I could start at the end and work my way back.
Okay.
We're ending everything with a panel discussion on Julia's legacy. And that's one of the things we want to get to the bottom of throughout the whole week is just what is her legacy today? I'll be moderating that. And some of the panelists include Dory Greenspan, you know, the famous baker and cookbook author who actually worked for Julia back in the day. They were very close. And Alex Prudhomme, her nephew, who I mentioned, he co-authored her memoir, My Life in France, which I highly recommend to your readers if you haven't read that book yet. It's wonderful. And Joe, if I could tell a little story from that book.
Yeah.
Folks will know this if they saw Julie and Julia, but it starts with a scene of Julia and Paul having their very first lunch in France. And Julia has never experienced anything like this. And one of the biggest takeaways for her was people drinking at lunchtime.
Yeah.
She couldn't believe people were drinking at lunchtime. And Paul leaned over and said, it's all about moderation.
Right.
So that was fun. One of her early experiences with wine in France. Okay, so we're doing that panel and that'll be fun. I'm super excited to hear what everyone has to say.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
On the panel, you know, and learn from people who actually knew Julia. I think that will be a really special part of this conference. A lot of the people doing the talks and the panels actually had a personal connection to her. So that's one. We've got a fantastic, one of the kickoff events is a conversation with Priya Krishna, who is a great cookbook author and New York Times reporter. And she will be interviewing a curator from the Smithsonian. Your listeners may or may not know this, but the Smithsonian actually acquired Julia's original kitchen from Cambridge.
Oh,
and
wow.
set up the whole entire thing as it was when Julia left it. So sadly, the Museum of Natural History is not open right now, but eventually the museums will be back open and people can go see the Julia exhibit if they would like to. But Priya will be in conversation with the curator who oversees the Julia Kitchen. What else do we have going on? We have lots of fun demos. If you are a Nancy Silverton fan, I'm sure a lot of you know Nancy. She is doing a demo with Paola Velez, who is the co-founder of Bakers Against Racism, that amazing program last year that raised, I think, over $2 million at this point for Black Lives Matter causes. But they'll be doing a demo together, virtual, of course. And Nancy has the distinction of being the only chef who ever made Julia Child cry on her TV program. And she made her cry because the dessert she made her was so beautiful, Julia was moved to tears. Yes, so we had to have Nancy for that. So we've got Nancy. Gosh, what else do we have? Oh gosh, you know what we have happening? We are bringing together all the women who have won Top Chef over the years. And I still quite can't believe that we got all of them, but they all said yes. And Nilu Motamed, a wonderful editor, is going to be, and Top Chef judge. Some folks might know Nilu from Top Chef. We're bringing them all together to talk about chefs on television, from Julia all the way through to Top Chef. You know, because like we talked about back when Julia's show started, you know, there really wasn't any other TV food programming at the time. Julia, you know, she was she wasn't the first, but she was definitely a trailblazer in that respect. You know, so we want to hear from these women, like, what did they watch growing up? Who did they watch growing up? You know, how did that influence their culinary paths? What do they think about food TV today? And what has the impact of Top Chef been on their life? You know, because there really is nothing like Top Chef still to this day. So it'll really be fun to hear from all of them. Then, of course, we have a wine event. We can't not have a special wine event.
Of course.
We are doing, and this, I am looking so forward to this, Joe. It's a tasting and trivia night that we are doing with Ex-Rosé and with Bouvet Laudabé. And did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. I worry. The whole Cherry Bomb team were like, beef bourguignon, bouillabaisse. It's really testing our French pronunciation of everything, right?
You say it better than I do, actually.
And then like bonus points if you can pronounce it like Julia, you know? So anyway, we're doing a tasting with those two wines with Cherry Bomb's beverage director, Cha McCoy, fantastic sommelier.
She's amazing. Yep.
Cha's great. And there's a special twist. We're doing it along with a trivia program that we're doing in conjunction with a guy named Matt Hammond. We don't often have that many guys, but Matt is a trivia master, and he's got the Zoom trivia thing down. And it's so much fun. We did a test run with him, and we were just all in hysterics. And it's going to be on Friday night, the 23rd. It's 21 plus, of course, but it is free for anybody who wants to sign up, and you can order the wines and taste along with Cha. But that is going to be a really fun Friday night. So if you're looking for a great activity, you can just go to cherrybomb.com and sign up for that. But that I'm definitely looking forward to.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Wine and trivia. What could be better than that?
Exactly. And I can't join a team because I know too much now about Julia. So we need to be able to look out, like, no Julia Child Foundation members, no ringers in there. I gotta make sure they stay out. But you can still watch.
Yeah, you have all the answers. You can't play. You're not allowed.
Exactly. Not all the answers, but I probably know most of them.
So it sounds like if our listener is interested in Julia Child at all, this is like a no-brainer. Just sign up, do it. And you said everything is free except for the first part, which for $10, like, and it goes to a fantastic cause. I think, like, come on, just pay the 10 bucks and do it.
Exactly.
Even if you won't do it, like, do it. It's good for everybody.
But, you know, I think the whole week of programming, whether you already know and love Julia or you want to have a better understanding of who this woman is and how she came to influence the world of food and beverage so much, I think you'll get a lot out of it. And there are so many wonderful people taking part in it. Like I said, the Top Chef winners, Jacques Pepin is joining us. Really just incredible people at every event.
And for more information, people can go visit cherrybomb.com.
Exactly.
The bomb is B-O-M-B-E at the end.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Where else can people find out about Cherry Bomb and connect with you and find out all cool things like this?
If you love podcasts, and if you're listening to this, hopefully you do, you can check out Radio Cherry Bomb, available wherever you get your podcasts. We also have a magazine that comes out twice a year, and the current issue just came out, and it's a companion issue to the conference. Julia is on the cover, and you can find it. You can buy a copy online, but you can also find it at a few places like Kitchen Arts and Letters in New York City, you know, Book Larder in Seattle, Omnivore in San Francisco, Now Serving in Los Angeles. Those are all super special partners of ours, and we love those cookbook shops.
Yeah, and all the trivia answers are in there, so pick it up before you...
Yeah. They probably are.
Yeah. Oh, and social media. Where can we connect on social media?
Oh, right. At Cherry Bomb. Right at Cherry Bomb.
Okay.
On Instagram. That's really the only platform we're on.
Good. Great. I'll have all of these details in the show notes, as well as the schedule for the Julia Jubilee. One more time, tell us exactly when and where.
Absolutely. It's the Julia Jubilee, taking place April 22nd through 29th, mostly on Zoom. The fundraiser with Ina Garten and Stanley on the 22nd. If you buy a ticket for that, we will send you a link.
Great. So people should sign up right now. As soon as they've heard this, they shouldn't even listen anymore. Just hit stop and go sign up right now.
We would love that.
All right. Great. So Kerry, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to tell us about this, and good luck with everything.
No, Joe, thank you. And thank you for the support. This has been fun to talk about it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening to my conversation with Kerry Diamond of Cherry Bomb. If you've listened this far, then you must be interested in participating in the Julia Jubilee. It begins on April 22nd with a kickoff conversation with Stanley Tucci and Ina Garten. So be sure to visit cherrybomb.com and buy a ticket. It's only 10 bucks. The rest of the conference follows and is free, but you do need to get the Zoom link and RSVP. That's cherrybomb, cherrybombe.com. The details are in the show notes. If you have a friend who's a Julia Child fan, be sure to tell them. I'll be back with a new episode next week. In the meantime, remember, wine is food. It comes from a place. Enjoy it responsibly.